Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain, unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez-Sardina.
He is risen! The Lord is risen from the dead. That is the song of Christians. The Lord is risen, alleluia. He is truly risen, as he said, alleluia, alleluia. For centuries, Christians the world over have been celebrating the fact that Christ defeated death. He killed death. Death is dead. Life is alive. And Jesus is alive and well. And he is inviting each one of us, knocking at the door of our hearts, to enter in, to sup with us, to dine with us, to give us his very body and blood, soul and divinity as our food. Will you welcome him? Will you season it up? Will you enjoy this Easter Sunday, Easter octave, and Easter season, 50 days of glorious celebration, and come closer to Jesus to receive the new life that he has won for you? You are one by one, one who is God Almighty. Enjoy Easter, enjoy the resurrection, enjoy Jesus.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Live. Delighted to have you with us here on this Easter Wednesday. And every day of Easter, I will remind you once again, is a solemnity. It's a high feast. As a matter of fact, the highest feast of the church. Every single day from Easter until the Feast of the Divine Mercy on next Sunday is a high feast of the church, of stature to be compared to Christmas or any of the other very high feasts called solemnities. So we celebrate. We continue to celebrate. We continue, despite what the world says, to fill our hearts with joy during these days, and maybe try to share that joy with one another a little bit, or maybe with the person who's checking you out at the grocery store, or helping you, at the gas station, because I think that's exactly what Jesus would want. Share a little bit of joy during this time when we have the joy of knowing that he is risen and that he has promised we will rise with him. This hour, we welcome Jason Everett. You know him. He's probably one of the most referred to experts on the theology of the body. He's the author of many best-selling books, 10 of them, I think, including Theology of the Body for Teens and How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul, one of my favorite titles for a book. You can find out all about him or schedule him in your parish or at your event by going to chastity.com. com, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about chastity, the much maligned, or I don't know if it's maligned or just ignored, but the much disrespected virtue of chastity. 888-318-7884 is our number here. 888-318-7884. If you have a question for Jason about what the church teaches, or a more practical question about how to share the virtue of chastity with children or adults, or how to live it yourself, all of that is welcome. 888-318-7884. Jason Everett, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on, Cy. It's funny you mentioned that How to Find Your Soulmate book. I was speaking at a high school recently, and a girl came up and she showed me the book and she said, you know, this book changed my life. I was dating a horribly abusive guy and I read this book and I finally broke up with him. And I said, oh, it's great. I said, you know, where did you get the book from? And she got kind of quiet and she said, I stole it. I said, what? Yep. She shoplifted it from a Catholic bookstore and in order to get it. You know, sometimes I think a guardian angel's like, you know, we're going to let this one slide.
So, one virtue at a time. We'll just work on one virtue at a time.
Whatever it takes, man.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Jason, you're going to be in Boston coming up this weekend. You travel all over the world. I know you're going to be in El Salvador coming up. And yet, I feel like you it's a Promethean task that you and others like you have to say to the world, essentially, come on, you're worth more than this.
Yeah. And to me, people think that we have, in a sense, a hard job. But I think, in a sense, it's the easiest because we're selling love. You know, we're selling what the human heart and the body and the mind is made for. And so in a world where there's so much brokenness and dysfunction in relationships and confusion, and where lust is basically reduced the human person to their sexual value, there's such a thirst for how to build and find and maintain lasting, loving relationships that I find once you get past that initial distaste that people have for the word chastity and they realize that, hey, this is a virtue that's going to help me to love and to know if I'm being loved, you know, I find that we have one of the easiest jobs in the world.
I see, yeah, because, right, there is something in us that whatever our other longings are, even our competing longings, the longing to be loved with a permanence and depth, it's innate in all of us.
Yeah, and I think so often people forget the church's teachings on human sexuality is part of the overall gospel, which is good news. I mean, the church's teachings on same-sex marriage, contraception, abortion, premarital sex, it's actually good news. It's actually really good news. And people might think, well, that's easy for you to say because you're not struggling with this or that. But, you know, the whole power of temptation really rests on this deceptive promise that living for ourselves will bring us more satisfaction than living for God. And when we're able to realize that that's a lie, you know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And if we can simply trust him, not only with the spiritual aspects of our lives, but the physical aspects, the sexual aspects of our lives, we'll find that he is our creator. He knows us best, and he only has good things in mind for us.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Jason Everett, our guest, and we are talking about chastity this hour. If you have questions about the church's teaching on chastity, or about maybe some more practical questions about how to live chastity or how to share it with others, maybe including your kids, you're welcome to call. 888-318-7884. I think maybe one of the reasons that people think your job is hard is that this internet thing has made it possible for people to have, and by, okay, let me just not even bother with people. Let's say a 12-year-old. Let's get it right down. Or, and I know that you have many people even at a younger age, but the average 12-year-old can find in about 10 seconds on the internet things that maybe people of my age didn't see or think about at all. I mean, I'm not like saying we didn't think about sex or we didn't see dirty pictures or that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like, as bad as that is, and I, you know, there was the Playboy magazine was the big thing when I was a kid, right? But yep. But as bad as that was, there, it's utterly dehumanizing the sexual material that an average 12-year-old can find in 10 seconds.
I remember when my wife was first speaking with me back when we were dating and working there at Catholic Answers together. She came with me to do a chastity talk in Washington, D.C. And it was the first assembly was for 7th and 8th graders. And she looked out at the audience as they were filing into the auditorium. And she said, Jason, no, there's no way. I can't speak to them about sexuality and chastity. Look at them. They're like children.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I said, you know, unfortunately, they're not perhaps as innocent as they might look.
Right.
And sure enough, she gave the talk, and we tone it down obviously for the junior high crowd, but afterwards the kids had pre-written questions that they wanted answered, and my wife almost passed out at reading the depravity of the kinds of questions these kids have that are not natural questions that would pop into the mind of some 11-year-old, 13-year-old kid. It's stuff you would only come to mind because of being exposed to internet porn. And this was 16 years ago when that was happening, when that assembly took place. And so we've got to realize as parents, like I read recently, one of the foremost places that kids are getting exposed to porn is at grandma's house, because they go to visit grandma. Grandma doesn't have Covenant Eyes filters on her computer to block pornographic content.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, kid, here's my cell phone. Play some video games. The kid's like, oh, great, mom. Off to the, you know, the next room. Shouldn't see him for 2 hours. You know? And then he comes home. When can we go to grandma's again? I really like being over there. And so as parents, we've got to realize that our kids are more computer literate than we are some of the time. I mean, some of the parents listening now. Your kid is into the for fun after school. Like, we got to catch up. And I think what's scariest about this, I was watching a video of a woman recently, a nurse who works with a pediatric unit for children who've been sexually abused. And she said, what we're seeing across the board is that the number one perpetrator of sexual abuse against children is not a live-in boyfriend or some perverted neighbor or some clergyman. No, no. They said it's 11 to 15-year-old boys who've been exposed to internet porn are the number one perpetrators of sexual abuse against children. They see the stuff on the cell phones, then they want to act it out. And that's why parents need to install stuff like Covenant Eyes to block this content before the kids even start seeing it.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. I'll get to all the callers, and calls are lining up, and I'm not ignoring you, callers. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. But something bothers me, and I wonder if there's even if there's anything to be done about it. But like, I'll fly on American Airlines, and American Airlines has all these video options that you can have, and among them is Game of Thrones, and I'm sure many other things, but. I'm sitting four rows back from someone, and I look over, and they're watching Game of Thrones, and it looks like pornography. It doesn't look like, and I'm
which it is,
and I'm thinking, why is an airline putting this on their screens? And if there's a child on that plane watching that, I mean, you know, I've had 54 years of life to try to integrate this. And I don't want to be on the plane watching your porn with you. But the kid, it just seems so cruel of our society to be doing that. How do major corporations not know that they should behave better than this?
It just comes down to the bottom line with them, and that's money. You know, is this profitable? Will this, you know, bring home the bacon for us? And so that's why consumers need to speak up, because ultimately people say, oh, the media shows us so many bad things and we're watching all these bad things the media shows us. No. This is backwards. The media shows us what we watch.
Right.
You know, if showing the Knights of Columbus bake sale live streaming on HBO would bring in the viewership, they would show the Knights of Columbus bake sale. But people don't want to watch that. People want to watch this depraved stuff. And so that's why they show it to us. And so we've got to be able to speak up as consumers and saying, hey, look, if your airline shows porn, I'm going to fly on a different airline. Then the airline's ears perk up a little bit. And if you got enough people speaking up, then they'll just drop the channel. And so we need to use our powers as the consumers to not think, oh, well, what could one person say? Anyone in business knows that one complaint really represents more than 100 people who feel that way who haven't said it. So if 10 people complain, we're looking at 1,000, 10,000 people who they know have a problem with this. So we need to speak up to the corporations about us wanting them to do business differently, or we're going to take our money elsewhere.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Jason Everett, our guest. Lots of calls for you, Jason, when we come back. Hey, the store-wide spring sale continues. Everything at Catholic.com or shop.catholic.com is 15% off when you put in the promo code SPRING19. Shop.catholic.com, put in that promo code SPRING19 and save 15% on your entire order.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings, fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends, and pretty soon we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Easter. I get to keep saying it. I'm sorry. I'm allowed to keep saying it till, well, I guess you could say it all the way till Pentecost, but it's certainly, you're still on, it's basically the same as being on Easter Sunday until the end of the octave. So happy Easter. I hope your Easter is happy. The Lord is risen, and that is a great cause for joy for us. 888-318-7884. And even when we're faced with problems like we're talking about now, the kind of pornographication of our society. I don't know if that's a word or if I made it up. And it's just a massive assault on chastity and the resulting unhappiness that that has brought. Well, the Lord rose from the dead. There's reason to be hopeful in the face of any challenge, any even when it looks hopeless. And that's why we have Jason Everett here today to help us talk through that and take your calls, 888-318-7884. Again, chastity.com is where you can find out all about Jason and what he does. Let us go to Mary in Nebraska, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Mary, your question for Jason.
Yeah, good evening. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Mary. Thank you.
Yeah. Question, what a parent role for grown kids that are, you know, living in with boyfriends or girlfriends before marriage, you know, I know they're not being chaste. What's a parent's role? We visited with some of our kids, you know, really put research out there, really tried to appeal to everything, to our first two. The third one, and now the fourth one's entering into this, and really feel at a loss for how to approach this with grown children. I know we're not supposed to preach, but I really hate to see this happening. Any thoughts?
Yeah, well, first off, I'd say don't be too hard on yourself, because that's one of the strange things. You can do everything right, send the kids to the Catholic schools, evangelize them, pray together as a family, and then they make completely contrary decisions. Then we have families that are the total opposite. I mean, 2 days we celebrated the feast of a saint in the church whose mom ran a brothel. I mean, she ran a house of prostitution, and the kid became a saint. It's just like, well, how come I could try to do everything right and my kid goes the opposite direction and that mom does this and her kid becomes a saint? And that's why you want to be careful about not putting too much blame on yourself if things aren't running perfectly. But with that suffering you feel from a mother's heart, make sure you're offering up that suffering as a prayer for your kids. Maybe you could give the names of your children to a local convent of cloistered religious sisters and saying, hey, here's my son's name and his girlfriend's name, and they're either moving in together or planning on moving in together. Would you please pray for them? And so, because sometimes our kids will build up walls so high, sometimes you have to go up to heaven to get over those walls. And so you're praying for them, offering up your suffering, fasting for them. Those are some spiritual strategies. Then from a, you know, a more practical strategy on something that you could do for them. We do have a CD called How to Save Your Marriage Before You Meet Your Spouse. And it's the talk that we give to young singles, showing them that, you know, the church is not their, you know, their rival when it comes to building love. The church wants them to have successful, lasting, loving relationships. But, you know, as you've probably already looked up, all the sociological data coming in is showing that cohabiting prior to marriage does not have positive effects on the stability and happiness of the future marriage. In fact, couples who live together prior to marriage have higher divorce rates, higher rates of infidelity. And so from a sociological perspective, this experiment of shacking up before marriage has not had positive outcomes. But for a lot of young people today, they frankly don't care what the sociology says. In their brain, it's like, hey, rent is cheaper if we split it, and I've already been spending the night there for the most of the last couple years anyway. Why don't we just move in together? My toothbrush is already over there anyway. And so if that's where the kids are at, let's say they're planning to get married in 6 months, you obviously want to do what you can. But you also want to prepare for them to understand that chastity is something that even if they miss the boat prior to marriage, it's something they should still practice inside of marriage. Now, that doesn't mean abstinence per se in marriage, but understanding why does the church teach what she teaches on things like contraception and chastity in marriage. And for that, we have another CD called Green Sex. Catholic Answers, I believe, also has the DVD called Life-Giving Love, which is the same thing on their website. And it just explains, you know, from the talk I give to engaged couples, you know, the church's teachings on sex is not meant to drive a wedge between the two of you. It's meant to bring you guys closer together. And so
Jason Everett is our guest. Sorry, Jason, just cut out there for a quick second. But Jason Everett is our guest. We're talking about chastity this hour. Mary is on the line. And Jason, we just lost your signal for a quick second. So
okay. Yeah, so I'm not sure where it cut out, but the resources I'd recommend would be getting those convents of nuns to pray for your family, to pray and fast for them. But then also check out the CD, How to Save Your Marriage Before You Meet Your Spouse, and also the one called Green Sex, because they might be a little defensive towards you, but maybe they'll absorb it a little better from a third party, you know, if someone else is doing the talking. So try to pass those CDs on to them, pray and fast for them, and don't give up.
Okay, Mary.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
And God bless you, sister. I am going to be in Nebraska on Friday, Omaha, Nebraska. Friday and Saturday, I'm going to be doing a fundraiser at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish for Regina Chaley Schools there, and I am delighted to be doing that. And then I get to visit with our good friends at KVSS, Spirit Catholic Radio. I say that in part because I'd like to go visit more of our radio station affiliates, and just send us an email over at radio@catholic.com if you'd like to maybe have the show live in your neighborhood one of these days. Let's go to Jane in Waco, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jane, your question for Jason Everett.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Oh, you can, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, shamefully, hopefully not everybody in Waco is hearing this. I am Catholic, and I just recently broke up with my boyfriend. We were cohabiting, and during the Lent season, I really was suffering spiritually. I felt so dead because I knew we were living in sin. But here's the kicker. He is a registered sex offender. He pursued me at church, and we started at first just initially just texting each other. And then eventually a relationship developed, and he was basically playing with me and toying with my feelings, my emotions. And so eventually he manipulated me more or less in the sense of let me move in with you so that way we can share, you know, cost, as what you were saying a while ago. And very manipulative, but yet I'm feeling so ashamed. And not only ashamed, but I guess I need to know why did I allow? I know I'm 65 years old, and I feel so lonely and so abandoned. I was also ostracized by my family because of my relationship with him. Not that I've ever really had a good one, but I feel like I am a good person. According to my best friends, that I am a good person, and I am consider myself a good Catholic. But, of course, here again, I guess I need some guidance as to what I can do. You were talking about a book earlier and I didn't quite catch the name of the book, and I feel like I need help in that area.
Okay. Jason.
Now, you live in Waco, and Waco is a place where you got a lot of home makeovers going on, where people will find this rundown property and see a lot of potential in it. They'll invest in it, you know, put $100,000 worth of new kitchen and carpet and sell it for twice as much. And, you know, that's great for real estate investments, but in terms of dating relationships, this is often what happens, where a woman will see a guy and see his potential and say, look, you know, I know he's not perfect, but I can fix him up. And if he were a house, he'd be like a dilapidated, haunted crack house in Detroit, and you're thinking, oh, but I can put a swimming pool in there and brand new curtains and everything's going to be great. And so when you met this guy, you know, there were some positives, but I'm sure you saw some red flags. But women tend to sweep them under the rug a little bit and want to focus on the good and making it better. And you start almost dating your imagination, dating a project instead of dating a person. And a lot of times we do this because, as you mentioned, out of feeling alone. Often when we're bored, lonely, angry, stressed out, or tired, we turn to false consolations instead of true consolations like God, family, prayer, exercise, community, things like that. And we make bad dating relationship decisions. So you want to make sure you're plugged in more to your faith community, to your family, so that they can vet these potential boyfriends of like, yeah, this guy seems like a real winner versus, nah, I don't know about this guy. And so I'd recommend that the book we mentioned earlier is called How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul, 21 Secrets for Women. And the first chapter is the top 10 guys to avoid. And I think if you read that list of the top 10 guys, you're going to notice this guy was probably half of them on that list. And so it'll help you to listen to your intuitions that are telling you, hey, there's a red flag here. I see something off, and I need to not ignore that intuition, but to trust that feminine genius. And even though I feel alone and I want to grab on to false consolations, I've got to pray for the strength. And you're experiencing the grace of the season of Lent, so don't beat yourself up. God, in a sense, allowed you to go out into the wilderness so that he could draw you back to himself. And so enter into his joy in Easter that you're home. You're back in the Father's arms. Go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and enjoy that authentic Easter joy. That, yeah, like the prodigal son, you went out and you realize this isn't what I want. It was so much better at my Father's house. And so go home and enter into the joy of the Father, knowing that he still has plans in mind for you. So it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. All that matters is where you want to go from here.
Okay, Jane?
Thank you so much for that advice. Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Jane. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Donna in Illinois, listening on WSFI. Donna, your question for Jason Everett.
Hello. I have a question. Our family, we have five kids, 27 to 14. My two youngest are girls, and they've listened to a lot of your talks. They've read, you know, How to Save, Find Your Soulmate. I mean, but it's always an issue that it's always coming up, the modesty, the leggings, the short skirt, you know, all everybody else, that's like a struggle, you know, and they get it from their brother where they're like, why do you let her wear that? And it's this constant fight. And I just don't want you to have any tips for us moms, because it's really hard, or a talker.
Yeah, I know what it's like, because my son goes to a public school because he's got special needs and they've got a great special ed program there. And I was picking him up from school 2 days ago and watching the 500 seventh and eighth grade girls come out of school. And I noticed they only had three types of pants on. They either had short shorts, where the pockets are basically longer than the shorts, leggings, or cut off jeans. And when we come back from the break, I'll give you some tips on how we can give them, as well as your own kids, a more powerful message of modesty.
Great question, Donna. Jason Everett is our guest this hour. We're talking chastity. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Back with more of that right after this.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What does the church actually teach about same-sex attraction? If God created certain people gay, how can we say that it's sinful for them to live that way? Why should we listen to the Old Testament's condemnation of homosexuality when Jesus never said anything about it? In 20 Answers Homosexuality, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, providing a faithful look at what the Bible, the church, the natural law, and science have to say about same-sex attraction, and how to respond with undiluted truth and compassionate love. 20 Answers Homosexuality is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting series from Catholic Answers Press.
Have your children chosen sides in your home?
We want to hear about it on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now, back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here. We're going to talk about what happens after you die with Carlo. And don't forget, Carlo's one of the guys, along with Trent Horn and Tim Staples, who will be at the great big giant Catholic Answers Fullness of Truth Conference coming to Fort Worth May 10th and 11th. If you want to find out about that, go to fullnessoftruth.org. This hour, we have Jason Everett with us, person by person, helping to put the shattered world back together. And I think the thing that shattered it was the sexual revolution, and we're going to be a long time putting it all back together. But it is a worthy work that he does, and we're on the phone right now with Donna in Illinois asking about how to help girls who maybe need some help to understand the value of modesty, dressing modestly.
Yeah, one thing that I think that we're not doing a good enough job of when it comes to communicating the message of modesty to girls is beginning with, well, why are those they so resentful about the message of modesty to begin with? Because they need to feel understood and heard there. And the reason they're a bit resentful and resistant toward it is because for thousands of years, the whole problem of lust has been blamed on the woman, in particular, the body of the woman. She's the seductress. She's the occasion of sin. She's the one who is caught in the act of adultery, you know, as if there were only one involved there. And so for thousands of years, the woman has been the subject of the blame. But as I look at it, you know, what is the cause of robbery? Is the cause of robbery the presence of jewelry in the window of the store, or the presence of greed in the heart of the robber? Jewelry does not cause robbery. Greed causes robbery. It's the same thing with the human body. The cause of lust is not the beauty of the feminine form, but the presence in the heart of the one who is lusting. And so long as we make the body the problem, we're missing out on the fact that the body's actually the answer, that the body reveals our call to love. And so when women hear this, their ears, their perk up. Their heart opens up. It's like, yes, yes, that's right. My body's not the problem. God made my body good. Then they could shift into, well, since my body's good, well, I shouldn't have to change the way I dress. if some boy has a bad imagination. I mean, that's his problem. I shouldn't have to change my wardrobe because he can't think purely. That's where we have to take him to the next step. Now, what is modesty? Modesty is an invitation to contemplation. You're inviting the boys of the world to realize that your body is not the best thing that you have to offer. And John Paul II said that for women to understand modesty, they first need insight into the male psychology, that women do not often get distracted in class by looking at the legs of their male classmates. Like, wow, look at all the hair on his kneecap. That's so attractive. It doesn't get their minds off class. Whereas with a man, when he sees women wearing these tights or cut off shorts or this or that, you know, we tend to focus on the body instead of the person. So in a sense, the intoxicating beauty of the woman's body can eclipse her value as a person. And so what modesty tries to do is it tries to put things in the proper order, where your sexual value is good, but your value as a person is more important. And so what modesty is trying to do is not to kill the sexual value, but to order it properly, to help men to realize that it is your personal value of a woman that's greatest about you, not your sexual value. Because if that's the first thing that gets the guy's attention, you're probably not inviting the right type of love that you deserve to begin with. And so persevere with these girls. I know it's tough because everything they're surrounded with is a totally contrary message. But trust me, the guy who your daughters really want to end up with is not the kind of guy who would pick her because she's wearing tight shorts and her rear end looks like a billboard for some Abercrombie and Filth company or whatever. That, in fact, the guy that she really wants probably wouldn't choose a girl who's dressed like that, but one who opts for a more modest outfit.
Okay, Donna?
Okay, thank you so much. God bless. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Thank you very much, Donna. We go now to Yaina in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Yaina, your question for Jason Everett.
Good afternoon. I'm calling because for several years I witnessed in front of the abortion facility in Buffalo, and I began to realize that the answer to the problem of abortion involves chastity, because what's causing, you know, the perception that we need abortion is the promiscuous lifestyle. So I made up about 25 signs, and we have started going in front of Planned Parenthood to promote chastity. So when people walk by, I approach them and I say, would you like some information about chastity? And sometimes I get into a conversation with them, which I don't really have a problem conversing with them, but I'm wondering what kind of literature I could hand out that kind of would give them, interest them in chastity, give them enough information that they would want to look into it further. Do you know of anything like that?
Yes. And first, Janet, thank you for what you're doing in front of those abortion clinics. I spent 3 years as a sidewalk counselor in front of one in Pittsburgh during college. And just like you, I just felt late. Like, why am I meeting these women a half hour before their abortion? How come I can't meet them when they're 16 years old? Because if they learned about chastity then, maybe they never would have dated this guy to begin with and be in this difficult situation. So I realized to save the most unborn babies, we have to swim upstream to where the dam is broken instead of throwing sandbags on the banks of this flooded river. So chastity, I see, is the way of plugging that dam that's creating this perceived need for abortion. So in terms of resources, we have two websites. One is chastity.com. That's our Catholic website. And then we have chastity.org, which is our public school website. At chastity.org, we have non-religious content to promote chastity. And on that site, as well as chastity.com, you could get the faith-based or the public school version of our booklets. The ones that I would recommend would be Pure Womanhood for the women and Pure Manhood for the men. And you could pick whether you want the Catholic, the Spanish, the secular, and you could even have both versions and say, would you want one that talks about it with God or no religious content? And they're short little, you know, 40, 50 page treatments of the topic of chastity from a male-female perspective. And everything you'll notice on our website is $2 or $3 or less, because we want to make everything just dirt cheap so evangelists like you can get boxes of these things really cheap and then just pass them out to people on the street, to your hairdresser, because we're always meeting people on some airplane conversation or whoever that need this message. And so our job as a ministry is just to make it really cheap so people like you can get those resources. So Pure Manhood and Pure Womanhood for the public school version and the Catholic school one, I think would be ideal to pass out because they're so short and sweet.
Yaina, thanks very, very much. God bless you in all your work. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for that call. Let's go to James now, listening on 91.3 FM, but I don't know where that is. James, where is 91.3 FM?
Actually, I'm driving from Memphis to Chicago on Interstate 57. And I'm pretty much straight east of St. Louis.
Oh, well, you're in God's country then.
Yes.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say your question for Jason.
Yes, actually, you're hitting on some of the facets of what I was calling about. Right where I am, it's pouring rain, and so you're kind of my silver lining behind the big black cloud, in that the issue is so important, and you kind of touched on it earlier, that kids so much younger than we ever would have imagined are being bombarded with negativity or not getting any positive support in their homes and so much of their life from the people that they're surrounded by. In the Shelby County, which is where Memphis is, a report came out that 28% of boys 13 and over and under have already had intercourse. And so, you know, it's real easy to throw rocks at the parents or their churches or whatever. And what I'm looking for is something positive in the way of, is there anything in any group in the laity or have you seen people who are getting through to younger people with messages about chastity?
Oh, that you have come to the exact right guy with that question. Jason?
A lot of good stuff. I mean, yep, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Sorry. But,
hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, yeah, James, you know, ideally, like you said, the parents are the primary sex educators of the kids, not the church, not the government, not the schools. It's the parents. Unfortunately, a lot of the parents need the message of chastity more than the teens even do nowadays, and some of them are scared to even talk to their kids about this stuff. So ideally, we want to form those parents and empower them in that role. In terms of people other than the parents, you know, our ministry, Chastity Project, we do speak to about 100,000 kids a year on the topic of chastity from 7th grade all the way up. And so you can find our resources at chastity.com. There's other people doing great stuff. Matt Frad talks about pornography with the young people. You've got people like Sarah Swofford talking about emotional virtue and emotional chastity. Leah Darrow now talk about stuff like modesty with the kids. So there are great apostolates and individuals out there that are trying to tackle this topic from all kinds of different angles. But yeah, if you go to chastity.com, you'll find lots of their resources, our resources, different things that you can use, curriculum that you can use in the classrooms and the youth groups and the confirmation classes as well. So familiarize yourself with the resources there, and then maybe talk to a local youth minister. Hey, what do you think about using this in the program with the teens that, you know, they're getting ready for confirmation? Let's show them these videos, because I find that the young people are remarkably receptive to the message of chastity if it's simply presented the right way.
James, thank you very, very much. Appreciate that call. Callers on the line, I am going to get to you. Do not worry. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Jason Everett on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Jason Evert, of much renown for all his work helping people see the value in and also practically live out the virtue of chastity, so needed in our time and so liberating. That's the thing that people don't get. It's not a burden that gets imposed on us from a God who just wants us to behave. But what a liberation comes with accepting chastity from the hand of God. 888-318-7884, our number here, 888-318-7884. We go now to Elaine. Elaine, your question for Jason Evert.
Thanks so much. So we have 18 grandkids, but there's a couple of them. One in particular I'm especially worried about. She is allowed to have a lot of privileges, and she's 12. She's in sixth grade, and she is enchanted or attracted to same-sex or bisexual. She's kind of wavered, but probably maybe same-sex attraction. And she has some people in her life, extended family and friends that, you know, have issues with that. And she is, I've certainly talked to her about it. Talk may not be the right word. I fussed at her about it. But I don't know how to help her.
Okay. Here are three thoughts. All over the world, this is happening where young people are coming to me and they'll, like a girl will say, Jason, I'm really confused because I think I'm straight, but my friends say I'm a lesbian. So I'm concluding I'm probably bi and I'm trying to figure it out. And I'll say, what's going on? And the girl will say, oh, well, the school I go to, the boys are really immature and they grope you and they're repulsive. But there is a girl on my campus and I come alive in her presence and we can talk for hours on end and she's beautiful and she's funny and my friends are telling me this is a girl crush, so we should experiment together to see if that's who we are. And I don't know what to think. And I'll say, you know, I don't know if no one's said this to you before, but you're supposed to be repulsed by everything repulsive. You're supposed to be attracted to everything attractive. So your friend here, her wit, her charm, her beauty, doesn't that all draw you to her? And she said, it does. And I said, look, I go to a Bible study. There's an 85-year-old man in our class with a gigantic beard, and I'm completely attracted to that guy. I mean, his sense of humor, his joy, his holiness. I just want to be around the guy because guess what? Not every human attraction is a sexual attraction. And the girl's eyes lit up and she said, I'd never thought about it like that before. And that makes so much sense. So we need to explain to them that everything in culture right now is being hypersexualized. Their attractions are getting hypersexualized. Their relationships, their friendships. You guys hanging out a lot. You guys having a bromance? No, it's a masculine friendship. Their products, their deodorant is getting sexualized and their identity is getting sexualized. You are either G or L or B or T or Q, and that's who you are. But this is not how the Catholic Church views the human person. Like when Cy introduced me, he didn't say, you know, our guest today is Jason and he's straight. It's like, okay, yeah, but look, like that's page 200 of the book Who Is Me. It's not the cover story. And when anyone on earth defines their identity by their sexual attractions, life is going to get real confusing real fast. Because if I see a woman who's not my wife and I find her attractive, is that my identity? No. It's an attraction you experience, but your identity is a beloved son or daughter of God. And so we need to help these kids understand your identity is not your sexual attractions. And secondly, that not all attractions are sexual in nature. And then we lastly have to show them that there are people in the church who experience same-sex attractions, who are pursuing a life of holiness and grace, and places where you can find them. There's a website called Eden, like the Garden of Eden, invitation.com, edeninvitation.com. And these girls, Anna and Shannon, that run this website are awesome. And they're explaining how, like, all right, attractions are not who we are as human persons. Yeah, we experience them, but we're sons and daughters of God. And so Eden Invitation is a great website. And if you go to chastity.com and you click on blogs, then homosexuality, you can read and share with your granddaughter all these blogs that young people have written who experience these attractions and choose to practice chastity. And they explain that, yeah, you know, sometimes these attractions come and go, especially for a 12-year-old. Just because you experience this towards a classmate doesn't mean that that is your unchanging identity for the rest of your life. And you don't want to pin your humanity on what could be a passing attraction or some quality a woman possesses that you think you lack. No, these blogs will help to put these things in perspective so they can realize that not all attractions are sexual, and that even if we do experience sexual attractions to whoever, that is not the sum of our human identity. But have your daughter check out, or granddaughter check out, some of those blogs and edeninvitation.com, and it'll open their eyes to the fact that gay pride and gay shame are not the only two options on the table. Chastity is there as well.
Elaine, thank you very, very much for that. A friend of the family, a daughter, was expressing this idea that she thought she was a lesbian, and her mother was concerned about this, said to her older brother, you know, shared her concern with her older brother, and the older brother said to her, and I quote, "All girls think they're gay now." And it's a strange thing, but like you said, these normal feelings of love for other people are so sexualized that it's almost like you're not even allowed to love members of the same sex.
Yeah, our world has sexualized everything, or even human friendships now don't even exist, because, like, if you feel that connection, well, maybe that's who you are. There's even terms getting created like transgender, meaning people who are identifying as trans because it's so trendy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, wow, if I come out as this, I'm instantly loved in my public school setting because that's almost the cool thing to do. And likewise, girls are like high school parties, and the boys are like, oh, that'd be cool if you two girls kiss. Oh, that's so cool. And the girls like, well, maybe I need to do this. Then I'll be more accepted by these guys.
Oh.
And so it's a confusing, tumultuous time, but we'd be able to root these kids in the rock of the Catholic faith so they're not blown around by all the junk they're seeing on social media, which brings us to the fact that a lot of this stuff is coming to that 12-year-old girl because her parents may be giving her a bit too much freedom in terms of her cell phone and the videos she's watching on Instagram, Finsta, you know, YouTube, and places like that, Snapchat especially.
I'm going to pretend like I know what all of those things are, but so is this a common question that you get from parents then? Like, how do I control this internet thing, or how do I get control of it?
Yeah, I would recommend the website protectyoungeyes.com. That's protectyoungeyes.com. Has a lot of great stuff for safety with their phones and their apps. And then Covenant Eyes, for the first time, has just released their screen accountability that will actually filter any junk that even appears on the screen, whether it's an image that they get texted, whether or not it's on an app or a vault app where they can hide porn and something that looks like a calculator or Snapchat. The new Covenant Eyes software will catch all of that. And you can test it out. You just go to covenanteyes.com and you can use a promo code of chastity that'll give you a month for free. And, you know, we signed up our whole family and we put it on all the different devices because, to me, it's essential. I mean, this isn't just us spying on our kids, but everybody being held accountable to the same standard.
Thanks. I appreciate that one because I know we get that question a lot. Elaine, thank you very much for that call. Janine in Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. You are up next. Janine, your question for Jason Everett.
Hi. Hi, Jason.
Hi there.
My question is, how do we as parents of teenagers I have a bunch of kids, and I have a 17-year-old who likes a girl and not dating, but they like each other. I'm just looking forward to the next few years as they start dating. If they're years away from being able to get married, how do I keep, as a parent, how do I help them keep the relationship from getting too intense? If they're still some time out from being able to get married, how can I set guidelines for them and help them?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, one thing I've noticed is the happiest high school students I've met in the world were students who told me they didn't see a point of being in high school because they say, well, what's the point? Because even if I do find a great guy, a great girl, well, great. He's going to go to UCLA next year, and I'm going to Louisiana State, and he's going to meet 30,000 college girls, or I'm meeting 30,000 college boys, and then he's going to get a job in Houston, and I'm going to get one up in Milwaukee. What's the point? There really is no point. And so that's why I think it's not enough simply to condemn the practice of teenage dating. We have to teach them how to date and when to date, to discern and understand that the purpose of dating is to find a spouse, not because we're bored or we're lonely or anyone else has one. It's marital discernment. And if I can't see myself marrying and raising a family with this person, I've got no business dating them to begin with. And so to help them understand the whole purpose of dating is to find a spouse. And I find that they're pretty open to taking dating a little bit more seriously. And I like the fact that you're talking to them about this stuff, because a lot of parents think, like, when do I give my kid the talk? Like, it's some chastity bomb you drop on your kid when they're 13. It's going to inoculate them from lust forever. It's like, no, we want to teach them the proper progression of a relationship and have a conversation with this. One resource I'd recommend on this is by Sarah Swofford. She wrote a book called Emotional Virtue: How to Have Drama-Free Relationships. And in this, she walks through the proper progression of a relationship, because she said, look, everyone is so honed in on physical boundaries. I can't do this, or that's too far. But she said, nobody's talking about the emotional boundaries, because a woman especially is an integrated being. Her body wants to go where her heart goes. And if you teach her all the physical limits, but you don't teach her emotional boundaries, and she's getting emotionally married to a boy she's only known for 2 months, well, her body wants to catch up to that. And so we need to teach them the proper progression of a relationship. And I think the book Emotional Virtue and her CD by the same name does a good job of explaining that.
Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right, Janine.
You're
welcome. Thank you very, very much. I think we can get one more if we go real quick. Anonymous, can you be pretty quick with your question to give Jason a chance to answer?
Yes. My question is about young girls who are otherwise innocently playing, you know, a game of doctor and maybe just crossing the line a bit into something that's inappropriate, and they're feeling it in their conscience that there's something not right here. How to talk to them about an appropriate way as friends to play and what to do, or why there are some ways of playing that are not appropriate.
Yeah, great question. One, I think imaginary play is great. Wanting to become a doctor is great. And a way that you can foster these in the kids is encourage them to have these little play games, but do it in the living room. You know, have it somewhere where an adult is present, because having an adult in the room is like having a visual conscience in that room. And if they can learn that, hey, if I can do this in front of other people, in front of my parents, then it's probably okay to do. And it's something I do away from them, then it's probably not okay. And they could take that lesson even into their dating years as well.
Plus, Anonymous, thanks very much. Plus, if they're going to be doctors, they're going to learn how to do billing to insurance and all that. So you can help them with that if they're right there in the living room with you. Jason Everett, thank you for a very, very fine hour. It's always great when you're here.
Well, it's great to be on. God bless, and again, happy Easter.
Oh, to you too. Happy Easter. Coming up next, Carlo Broussard, who you can go see if you go to fullnessoftruth.org. Coming up, it's so soon, May 10th and 11th, Carlo is going to be there. Next hour, we talk with Carlo a bit about life after death. Yes, indeed, there is. Good week to talk about it. We'll do that right after this.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.